The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, Coffee Dawn. Welcome back. Welcome back, because this is a part two-er. If you haven't listened to part one, that will be linked below so you can catch up to where we are. We are with our now in-house counseled professional dominatrix, owner of Dungeon East, lifestyle dominatrix, professional BDSM consultant, Justine Cross. Thanks for coming back.
No, thank you for having me back. I'm glad I got into another segment for you.
Oh, yes. We just had so much fun talking the first time. Like, we didn't get to actually ask all of the questions that our viewers had submitted, which there were a lot. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to like jump right back in. Again, if you want to know more about Justine and like the questions of like how she got started, yada, yada, the basics behind BDSM, the boundaries and all that good jazz, you go ahead, stop this, listen to episode one, and then get your ass back over here so we can listen to episode two, which I think these questions are a little bit more juicy, a little more naughty perhaps. And of course, we know Justine does not have to share everything about her fucking personal life. So if there is anything that's just like, that's not about what we're talking about, just skip. I am so down to put people in their place and let them know our boundaries, sis. Otherwise, I think we could just get right into it, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's do it. Okay. I thought this was an interesting one because it's never something I thought about with, I mean, is it, okay, I have to say this kind of funnily because I was on a call earlier today and I was talking about how I totally sell feet pics to people that like DM me, and one of my bosses was like, that's sex work. And I was like, I don't think it is. And she's like, no, it is. And I was like, huh, I guess if you're getting paid money for an act, like, do you consider dominatrix work to be sex work because it is an exchange of pleasure for money?
Yes. Yes. Yes to both questions. Yes. Being a dominatrix falls under the larger umbrella of sex work, and so does selling your feet through DMs, which I, please, anyone listening, power to you. Please don't do it on Instagram. They will shut you down.
Oh, shit.
So don't do that.
Good to know.
Keep it off site. Yeah, there you go. I'm helping out my fellow sex workers, even if you don't know you are one yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what, because, you know, there's also like phone sex operators, like they're not having physical sex with someone.
Right.
And then also, you know, you have to think about what is sex. I mean, granted,
right,
we usually have a definition of sex as defined by the law in which we live and the person in which we're having sex with.
Right.
it's very important to define those things with
right,
your partner.
For sure.
But yeah, I am not, and certainly not right now because of COVID,
right,
I am not having physical contact with my clients.
Hmm.
But when, or if I go back to that, I am not having penis, vagina, missionary.
Sex. There you go. The plain old.
Yeah, but what is sex? It's, you know,
right,
someone comes, yeah.
Hopefully.
Maybe. Hopefully, if you're good, if, so, if
yeah,
you have fiber, all that, so.
So I guess the question that was asked was, how do people stay safe sexually on the job? So I guess that can be like in terms of a client and dominatrix partnership, and even if it's not penetrative, how do you stay safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, all the things that I am doing, I assume they mean like medically safe. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, you know, as I said earlier, it's like, you know, we are wiping down everything with like Steridol wipes, alcohol. I'm using barriers like puppy pads. I'm always wearing nitrile gloves. They're very sexy in black. So, and then also, you know, putting condoms on things like vibrators or insertables, and, you know, making sure that is happening. But that's the extent of which I am in contact with clients. So there's never any opportunity for skin to skin contact in what I am doing with them when I saw people physically.
And excuse my ignorance, is that normal? Is that like a normal job boundary for a dominatrix? Is there isn't that penetrative relationship? Well, I shouldn't say penetrative. Skin to skin. You said it better.
Yeah. Skin to skin contact. Well, I think it's different for everyone. And, you know, that's the beauty of being, you know, your own boss and doing the kind of whatever work you want to do and how you decide that you want to do it. You get to decide what you want to do. But I just, again, I hope people are being safe, you know, beyond COVID and before and after and things like that, and taking their physical health, you know, seriously. We live in California, so, you know, the porn industry is huge here, and you know they get tested more than, like, you know, girls that I read about, like, on Bustle, you know, like they're getting tested very strictly and very often.
It's interesting. One of my first episodes of Confidently Insecure, I had a male sex worker on, and he kind of said there's this, you know, we asked about, like, how do people get sick in the industry, and, you know, with contracting, like, herpes or, like, HPV. And he kind of was like, look, it's kind of this unspoken rule that, you know, a lot of people in the industry do, get sick from time to time. And I wasn't sure if it was a similar, because in that industry, it's like professionals who are agreeing to have skin to skin intercourse or play, whereas this doesn't necessarily have that same connotation. So, like, is there a, I don't want to say like issue, but has there ever been issue with kind of safety in people who tend to, I mean, like, look, I'm in an open relationship. I just naturally will get more shit wrong with my pussy because I am just having more sex. It's not that I'm being less safe. There's just more chances. So, like, does that resonate?
I don't think it's so much about it might be a small, and I'm not in the porn industry, like, everything I do is solo content and I'm not naked, and so there's very little, I'm just here with, like, you know, an inflatable, like, ball. That's what I'm getting paid to do later today. So the dream, living the dream. So you know, I think it is a bit about the volume, but it's also just, you know, not every production is the same. So, you know, some people are not going to go through all the safety precautions that you are supposed to do, which is the case in porn industry. But honestly, I've rented to mainstream production and porn production, and the porn production people have always left my space perfect. And the mainstream, not so much. When I'm there, but, like, not, they're just, it was just been a lot easier to deal with. But I mean, that would be the same in any mainstream production. What, you know, people get hurt on set all the time, and, you know, and, you know, and people are also just treated better at porn sets. You know, a lot of female porn stars that try to cross over, they publicly say, this was such bullshit. I got treated, like, horribly on a mainstream set. And on a porn set, I'm treated like an angel. And just, like, well, can I get you anything? Yeah. And I mean, and even now with COVID, there's a whole set of safety precautions in place where you're supposed to have a COVID officer on set and all of these things. And people are contacting me now to do productions. And some of them are doing all that. And some of them, when I ask them, they're like, you know.
So, it does make it different when you own your own practice, for lack of a better term. Like, you are the one that's in charge making the decisions. You are your own boss. Like, there's not necessarily, like, a union you have to adhere to protocols from, right? Or, like, is there a dominatrix union I don't know about?
There isn't. And there is an adult performer actor guild, which I follow for industry information. But I am not, again, I think that is more for people who are doing porn in the porn industry, which, again, I'm not. So,
And does it bother you at all that those two are often conflated, just over, I think, lack of knowledge of what dominatrix work is versus sex work versus porn? Like, how do you
no one knows what a fucking dominatrix is. Like, everyone everyone knows what a stripper is, everyone knows what an escort is. Like, I feel like, oh my god, there's a million doms out there. We're, like, the tiniest portion of people because no one knows what the fuck that is. Like, you know, it, that's not, we're not the ones that made OnlyFans famous.
Like, right, know? Like, I don't think people, I think they group dominatrix into the world of, you know, just any kind of sex work in general.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then how do you stay safe mentally on the job? I know we talked about boundaries last time, but you know, I think sometimes with intimate experiences, no matter what the case is, like even if boundaries are discussed, maybe things come up in the moment, or, you know, have you gotten to a place where you've been doing this so long and you're such a goddamn professional, like you don't really run into those sort of like emotional safety regulation moments anymore?
Yeah, I would really say that. And I think I felt that way from the beginning. I think it's, I have been doing this for so long and I have such good boundaries, and that's what like all my friends say about me, even in, you know, in real life and stuff. So, you know, I think that, you know, as I am in a relationship, I have a partner, like we just discuss things that we feel are okay about, like what I do for sex work. But there, and that feels fine for me. So there's always that. And also in previous relationships. So there's that. I think it only gets hard when, you know, your client kind of wants more from you than you can give. And I'm very happy to refer out in terms of like other mental health services, or like if they're asking for things that I don't provide, like pre-pandemic, I was very referral friendly. You know, now it's like, well, it's only virtual. I'm not referring people for in-person, so, you know, but I think it's just the same things that we would do anyway. It's like, you know, you need to take breaks. I think actually now I'm having a harder time doing that self-care because now everything is online and there's no stopping of work. There's no 6 o'clock bell for me.
No.
But now there's also not like 7 o'clock happy hour and oysters. That was the bell for me.
Right.
That
right.
bell is not gone. Getting wrong. So I think it's just, you know, really trying to schedule things for the self-care that are that are available to me, and trying and, you know, putting that as a stop. But it's not so much like the clients. You just like block, move, mute, move on if they're problematic. I don't
That's
care.
Like my same mantra, so I totally get that. I'm like, is this servicing me in a positive way? No, delete, block, bye. I embrace the delete button, like, whew, you have no idea.
My block list as long as my friend list.
There you go. Keep your enemies close. How about, I thought this was interesting. How can you talk to judgmental people about your job? Which I think is like probably someone's way of asking, like, have you ever encountered someone where when you tell them what you do for a living, they judge you, and have you ever been able to change their mind?
It's interesting because I've been doing this for a really long time, and I've been out for a very long time, and I'm lucky that I have a community of friends and honestly family members who know what I do, and it's just a non-issue. But I find that when I tell people about it, I kind of gauge who they are and where I am to how I relay that information. And I generally relate in like a top-down manner. I say, oh, I run my own business. Then frames it. And then I say, oh, I am in the adult industry. Oh, I am a dominatrix and a dungeon owner. But it's interesting when you say to someone, I'm a dominatrix, because of course, you know, when you're in Los Angeles, you can fucking say that. And it's like not even that interesting.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're a yoga teacher. Okay.
I mean, I guess it is interesting in the sense that like, you know, well, anyway, when you say I'm a dominatrix to people, they have one of two reactions. First, they're like, either one, they're like, ooh.
Oh. Yes. Oh my God, really? That's me. Yeah. I'm like,
or two, they're just confused and they're like, what's, and they're trying to, you know.
They're like, you have an OnlyFans? And you're like,
yeah, maybe. And, but it's, I remember going out to a strip club once with a girl on a date, and these guys were like, hey. So, and they're like, you know, she's flirting or dancing with someone, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Hey. Yeah. And I'm excited for the VS strip club. And these guys are like, hey, what's up? Like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a dominatrix. And they're like, oh, we're just writers on a show. Like,
yeah, never mind. Never mind. We'll go back over here.
We weren't that cool anymore, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you talked a little bit about how, you know, what the fuck do dominatrixes do? And I thought another question that someone asked is, like, because dominatrix work in your definition of, like, what you do as a business owner isn't skin-to-skin contact, can you tell us, like, specifically what those things are that you do, and what are maybe some of the more unique things that someone might think of, like, oh shit, I could be making money doing that with lots of years of practice, not just like stepping into that work, making it sound easy, or kind of things that maybe people assume, like, okay, dominatrix, I think you're like whipping someone. That's like, you know, Rihanna song version.
I am whipping someone. you know, I, I, if, if they're lucky. Well, I think also, I think it's important to note that no one really knows what anyone does at their job. Fair. Like, do totally I know true. What you're doing later today? Did I know that you had a boss? I'm like, aren't you your boss? Like,
my boss for this one project that I have to listen to. I have many, right?
Anyway, but yeah, the things that I, but again, it is so varied by person where mm-hmm. it's like, for example, like, you know, yes, one of the things you mentioned is corporal punishment. So yes, like anything where I am hitting someone's body with an implement or my hand or something, that is something that I do. Mm. Bondage, foot fetish, things of that nature. Yes, all of those things. But it's like if someone wanted to do like needle play, I don't do that, but lots of other people do.
Okay.
You know, in during these times, I'm doing a lot of, I'm filming a lot of content. So mm-hmm. some of those things are those things that I would be doing in person anyway, like foot fetish, or I did like, you know, things like spanking POV, because again, I'm in quarantine and I'm not shooting with anyone other than myself.
Right.
But I'm also getting a lot of interesting inquiries that are like, I have someone who messaged me and he wants me to like sit on, there's like a whole inflatables fetish.
Oh,
so he wants me to like sit on like balls and like possibly pop them and, you know, all of these things, which is
that
really fun
like
for me.
Fun.
I like doing that. Yeah, no, I love doing, people send me really interesting custom clip ideas and they're just really fun. And I like it. It's easier for me to do that. And it's money. And then honestly, sometimes they usually sell better anyway.
Right.
When I can sell them again. So that's awesome. So if you have like weird clip ideas, as long as I'm not naked, I'm probably down.
Well, that's like so interesting that, you know, I've talked about before on the podcast how people will DM me all the time for like foot pictures. And I'm like, why the fuck do I care? Like, it's my foot. I don't care. Like if my face is on it, like here, have a foot picture. But I think that there's something that I lack in confidence to be like sexy about my feet pictures. And it's definitely something I'm like interested in because you can get more money when you're actually performing like a kind of a, having that sensual connection to it. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you have an emotional separation or is it purely performative or do you enjoy it?
Oh, I mean, both. Like, I mean, I practice BDSM in my personal life. I enjoy doing these things. But it's like, there's also things that I will do for money that I don't mind doing, but I wouldn't do them for free.
In your personal life.
Yeah, I wouldn't do my personal life. And I mean, well, I'm queer. I mostly have female relationships. So that's one. So it's that, but I don't do things that I like have like a real problem with or like really against my boundaries.
Right.
So there's both, but it is a job. It is a business. It is one that I really enjoy.
Right. Or you wouldn't
like,
do it.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's just like anyone where it's like, people say you find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. It's like, no, you're still going to work. Even if it is like sex work and it's fun and pleasurable, it's still a business.
that's like a really dumb, stupid phrase. Like,
I know.
So dumb.
I know. Like, God, imagine never having to work in your life. Go live on a fucking ashram or something. Even still, you're going to be working.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand that phrase. It's silly.
Yes. Okay. Before I ask you about the craziest thing you've ever partaken in, we're going to throw it to a quick ad break.
My sweet, sweet confidants, I just had to take a quick second, pause on the pod, one real quick second, just to talk about my most favorite thing, which is therapy, with my most favorite company, which is BetterHelp. Y'all know I am constantly preaching about BetterHelp, which is an online therapy app website you can download right now and get matched with a licensed professional counselor in under 24 hours because I truly, truly believe in it. I use it every single week. Shout out to my therapist, Kim. And I also do couples therapy from it. It has made my life so much more manageable during this pandemic. And I want all of my confidants to be able to have that accessibility and affordability, which is why I love BetterHelp, because it is more affordable than traditional counseling and on other online competitors. And they deal with all sorts of things like anger issues, LGBT family life, sexuality, relationships, sleeping, trauma, you name it. BetterHelp is there for you, and I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. You're going to join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health when you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/CI. Me undies, baby. Let me tell you, I got a package in the mail the other day, had my name on it, opened it up, a lone pair of the softest underwear I have ever felt in my life. Of course, it was from my Me Undies fam. They know that I gotta keep it fresh, I gotta keep it cute, I gotta keep the patterns going. And I saw something on TikTok that said, like, you're supposed to replace your underwear every 6 to 12 months anyways. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. But don't worry, because Me Undies has got you covered. Building your collection of soft as heck undies has never been easier. They've created a membership where you get a pair of your fave undies delivered each month. You're the boss. This is your world, and they're just sending you undies. You also get up to 30% off virtually everything they make and early access to the most exclusive prints. Me Undies are designed to be the softest thing you'll ever put on your body and offered in a range of sizes from extra small to 4XL, okay? And for any first-time purchasers, you're going to get 15% off and free shipping. Baby, they got a problem-free philosophy. If you don't like it, you can return it. No questions asked, no caveats. They will refund or exchange. So to get your first 15% off, your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to meundies.com/confidently. That is meundies.com/confidently.
Whether you work for yourself, confidant like me, or you're a part of a team, which is also like me because I do have friends, it's time to get creative. Make your online presence and your business stand out from the rest with Issue. Y'all know, you've heard me talk about it. I'm starting my own little side thing, my little side app situation. And I have been using Issue with all of my deck presentations. First impressions are everything. And with Issue, it is an all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital content, from marketing materials to magazines to flip books and brochures and more. I mean, like, PDFs are totally outdated. No one's using like PowerPoint, all that jazz. You can use seamless other tools with the Issue, like Canva, Dropbox, and InDesign. Make it once and distribute it everywhere. You don't have to reformat because your content's already optimized for engagement and ready to share. I'm talking to all you creators, marketers, designers, and anyone who wants to make content that stands out. And you can start using Issue for free. They also offer premium features that give a more customized experience. So get started with Issue today for free, or you can sign up for a premium account and you will get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code confidently. That's ISSUU.com/podcast and use promo code confidently at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code confidently. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can dress them up. I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now we're back from that ad break. I know we kept you right on the edge of your seat wondering, like, I'm sure this is the most common question you get asked, right? It's like, what's the fucking craziest thing you do? Like, do you have those sort of like party trick stories you go to where you're just like, one time you won't believe this? Or are you just kind of like, some guy wants me to pop balloons with my butt and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like, what request did I get this week? It's really hard. Yes, I do get that question a lot, but it's really hard for me to answer because what's your definition? Well, first of all, it's like, I don't want to kink shame people.
Exactly.
And it's like, what would be your definition of this? Because for some people, if I said, okay, well, you know, I took a picture of my trash and sold it to someone, that's pretty outrageous. But also, it could also be outrageous for someone to, like, you know, I sold a picture of my feet, which actually it's so funny that that's like the common thing because I'm like, wow, I never sell pictures of my feet. Maybe because my feet are old and tired and already out there.
No, you know what I think it is? Is I've got abnormally small feet. And I think there's a specific.
What size are you?
I'm like a 6 for how tall I am. I'm 5'9".
Okay,
so I
oh,
look
wow,
very.
Oh, wow. Really small for you.
I fall a lot.
I'm like a size 7.5, 8. And I'm also like 5'8", 5'9". So it's like smaller. Yeah.
So you know, my feet are weird. Buffy
that
the
is
weird.
A little small.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like you know, I think that brings up such a good point too of like the people who are usually asking, like, you can get a vibe based on who's asking of like, oh, are they trying to get me to say something like interesting? Or are they looking for that? Like one time I played cannibalism, like, you know, they want the crazy, you know, fucking most out there thing.
I mean, it's all relative. It's like, you know, like for me, I'm like, oh, well, like, I don't think it's that interesting or abnormal that like someone wants to take me on like an all expenses paid vacation to like a foreign country.
That's fucking wish.
Fine. But then like for other people, you know, I'm like, wow, I think it's like fucking weird and abnormal that like you flew across the country in the middle of a pandemic, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, that's not cool. Like, but everyone has done that more than what I have done. So it's just really all relative.
Well, speaking of like, if what you're talking about is that technically fin doming, financial dominatrixing, or is it that someone wants to pay for you because that's their kink? You're not necessarily telling them to do that. That's what they want.
Well, I think that would be all my business. Like, is it their kink? Is it my kink? Well, because it's like, it's, you know, I'm still in a service industry. It's like, I exist.
Right.
And I can tell you what to do, but it has to be something that on some level you want to do.
Right.
Because I can't make you do it without, it's not consensual. So it's kind of this weird thing because it's like, yes, I'm getting up every day and looking hot, putting a certain amount of effort into this. And then I am reaping the rewards of that, you know, hotness and that work. But there has to be someone else there who is interested in receiving that. You know, you still have to contact me, you know. I mean, I'm not in the phone book and saying, like, well, John Smith, I'll call him today and tell him what to do. Like, John Smith has to find me.
Sure. Well, so speaking of, like, having regular clientele, like, do you find that your clients are, like, repeat people? And is it there to sort of, like, relieve a fetish or a kink for some time? Or is it like, you know, we all grow out of our shit, right? Like, what I was interested in last year isn't what I'm interested in this year. Do you find that people are repeat clients who are like constantly changing their kink? Or are you like, oh, John Smith, I know I'm gonna have to do this today?
You know, it depends. I've had a lot of my clients are regulars and I've known them for many, many years. And sometimes it's like basically the same and sometimes it evolves. It really just depends on what's going on for them in their personal life. A lot of people that I saw years ago opened up to their partners and decided to incorporate kink in their lives, and then they rent the space for me, or sometimes I would see them as a couple, and that was really nice. You know, it feels good to, like, you know, be added to the family, you know, so that's good. And I encourage people to talk to their partners and, you know, stuff like that.
When stuff opens back up, I definitely want to come visit and see all the things.
Well, you can rent it now, like I said.
But I don't even know what we would know. I don't I have no idea where we would even start.
But I'm having a virtual play party called Cyber BDS Femme that you can come to.
I'll send
you the details. It's a women's only play party. So.
Oh, that's so amazing. I love that you've created those spaces too, because I feel like often women's pleasure is so overlooked, and I have to imagine the BDSM community is probably more welcoming to that, to women's pleasure, than like mainstream society.
Definitely all about femdom stuff. Like, again, that's totally normal to me. And I was listening to my friend on Clubhouse the other day talking about the first time she went into a dungeon and she saw like a woman beating up a guy and like making him serve her, and she's like, that was like wild to me. And I was like, what, that is a Tuesday afternoon?
You know? That's my regular.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I thought this was also another interesting question, maybe one that's too personal. Tell me to fuck off if you want, but do you feel the need to be in control in other parts of your life or just work? Like, does this bleed over into relationships or like tasks or like errand running?
Well, let me let my girlfriend out of the kit. No, I know.
You're sitting on her.
No, I am definitely, I know I'm sitting on her. No, she set this all up for me and ran
she's
away.
A
no,
chair.
She's a chair. No, she's not. She's a lovely person. But she, yes, I am totally in control. I am a top. I am a dom. I am a type A personality outside of the dungeon. You know, that is who I am. It's just funny to me because when people meet me as Justine, you know, I'm just like, oh, a normal person. Like, we're talking right now. And people always say, oh, well, I just thought you were like going to be a
mean
bitch. Like,
yeah.
Mean. And my response is like, well, but you're not paying me to be mean to you.
It's a service.
It's a service.
I got to turn that on.
It is an expensive one. So, but I'm just, I don't have like a domitude, you know.
That would be I have to imagine that would be exhausting. Like, it's kind of similar in my business where I'm never not being me. Like, I'm never paid to act like someone else, but there is an energy preservation that I have to do because, like, for instance, today I'm doing 4 podcasts and I was like, okay, I'm going to be on for each of those hours, and each hour that I'm not, I will be sitting face down scrolling through TikTok and I don't want to talk to anybody today. Like, there is an energy preservation. Like, do you find that one sort of dom, session takes more out of you than another, or are you kind of like, again, I've been doing this so long, I know how to maybe schedule things?
You know, honestly, I think, you know, when I have like a good session or a good time with someone, it really revives me. It's honestly the best cure for cramps. Unfortunately, I can't kick anyone the balls today and I have them and I'm very disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I think that it's usually like, you know, when you have like a bad day, it's like you don't want to go into work because then you got to like, it's like worse, you know? I mean, it might get your mind off of things, but then you have to deal with like the gross stuff. But it's like my work, my job is to like have some man give me like tons of money, call me a goddess and like let me hit him and do things I want to do, and that feels really good. I think it only gets tiring or gross when someone doesn't want to pay you and you're like, well, but you need to pay me to do these things. But let's just talk endlessly. Okay, that's not going to work for me, I gotta go. And then it's like frustrating. That I think is the only thing that is annoying and frustrating, especially now in the online
realm. Well, that was actually one of my questions I was going to ask, is about like developing a friendship, because I know when I have been approached by, you know, those DM sliders, they are like, oh, I do actually also just want to like talk to you. And I'm kind of like, I don't know that I want that, because also too, they tend to be anonymous, you know, avatar wise, and they're not really sharing much about who they are actually. So do you find that the clients want to have a relationship, like friendship with you, or that you're like, no, I see you Tuesdays at 10 and that is all.
No, sometimes, I mean, I, again, I have been, I have known some of my clients for a very long time, and so I have developed friendships with them. And certainly, like, you need to be friends with someone if you're going to go travel with them.
Oh, you for
know,
sure.
Like, they have to know you're going to know who they are. They're going to know who you really are. Like, you have to know that. So, so definitely that. I mean, but also it's like people sliding into your DMs. It's like, I mean, I don't talk to men for free.
Ew. Amen, sis. Make a shirt out of that.
I think. There's many, but I will talk to, you know, I will talk to clients for like a few minutes for free. Like, you know, the rule is like generally 5 minutes, and then I get busy, and then it's like, well, if you want to talk to me, I am on Sex Panther, or you know, I'm busy right now. I am shooting today, but I will be around tomorrow.
There you go.
Oh, you want a custom clip, you know, things like that. So it just, don't talk to people for free. It's a waste of
time. I'm like
your time.
Taking notes. I'm like, don't talk to people for free. No, just because like I do want to take the taboo-ness out of it. Like I do want to try and like find where I feel comfortable in that relationship too. Like I do feel like when someone is asking me for a service, I don't owe them anything. But if I'm going to engage, that I'm worried about doing it right, or like, you know, again, am I being sexy with it, or am I literally just like taking a picture of my foot? Like, I think I'm still finding my footing in like the foot world, no pun intended, but like, yeah, I thought that was an interesting question. This one I thought was interesting too. How do you avoid passing judgment on your own clients?
I don't know that I really judge them, so I'm not sure what that means. Like, I mean, I don't,
you're like, nothing phases me.
I mean, I don't like judgment in terms, do you think that person meant like judgment in terms of like their kink? No, I don't judge my clients. Like, you know, the only thing is I was talking to someone the other day and he wanted to engage in something that like I didn't feel was particularly safe. Mm. And I said, I don't have anyone to recommend for you to do this with. And I don't think this is the safest thing right now, but if you're going to do this, like here's some possible advice and you can use me as a reference, but like, I really can't participate in this.
Right.
So I think there's that. So I'm not judging like clients, although adjacent to that though, is that I am absolutely judging people who are knowingly participating in dangerous behavior during the pandemic with their clients, I'm just seeing things that are not okay and not safe, and I am judging that because people do have other options.
You should be fucking judged.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're being an asshole.
Yeah, you are. So there's that. But it's that would be the only thing I would say. Judgment about like unsafe behaviors.
Yeah, because I thought it was interesting, like when we talked last, you had mentioned something like, yeah, you have to imagine like what kind of porn I have to watch if this is what I do for a living. And I got thinking, I was like, that is a good question, because I feel like just being naturally like an openly pretty sexual person, I feel like I've seen everything, right? Like when you think of, I guess, more like saucy things that you watch personally, this might be getting personal, I feel weird even asking it, but like, do you go towards things that are sexual, or do you find yourself being like, wait, balloons do kind of look kind of cute?
I don't want to say exactly my porn preferences, but I will say to one, pay for your porn.
Amen.
And two, I really love a lot of stuff that is on kink.com, which I do pay for. So
I know that place.
Yeah, and it's good too, because it's like I know some people and like colleagues, and then it's like I crush on them, and it's like nice because I'm like, oh my god, I just watched your scene and it's really cool, and they're like, oh really, yeah, like we should hang out, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't wait someday, please.
Oh my god, so, what a compliment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of like paying for your porn, how do you feel about OnlyFans and its like rise to sex work meets regular people doing it?
Well, it's a mixed bag, because like on one hand, I think that anything where mostly women can take agency over their bodies and make money is good. And, you know, some kind of sex work is the oldest profession, and it is also one of, I never know like the exact numbers, but it's really the only profession that women are consistently making more than men.
Right.
And women still make what, 76 cents on the dollar. And it's even less if you're a woman of color. So this is something where women can really equal the playing ground. with the rise of something like OnlyFans happening so quickly and so many civilians doing this, they lack a lot of things like safety and understanding of, you know, that people can download all your stuff and go put it somewhere else and no one's thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also I think that there's like a story about to break on OnlyFans where like they're involved in like, I don't know, like something really bad. Like we were all told to like cash out and, you know, and that's like a problem. But I mean, it's like these things will, you know, platforms will come and go. You know, I think that the bigger fear for me is that as it becomes more mainstream, eventually OnlyFans will kick off sex workers, and sex workers are the people who built the platform, much like we built Tumblr and honestly Instagram, you know, and we're getting kicked off. And that doesn't feel fair or good, and it's frustrating, especially when something like doing online sex work is legal in the United States. I don't know much in other countries, but probably legal in other countries. It is a taxable thing, so we're paying taxes. And it's also something that is really safe for our communities. And for those three reasons, like, we shouldn't make it harder and worse for people.
And it's just probably annoying. It's like, the guys, fucking stay in your lane.
Yeah,
I said it, not you.
I think, sorry, I was just gonna say, but and to piggyback off of that, is that like, it's okay to join us. Like, sex workers aren't like, no, don't come here, civilians. But it's like, hi, like, one, don't judge us, and now you're one of us, but now you don't want to consider yourself a sex worker, but like, bitch, you are. You're selling your feet, you're selling your, you know, it's like you sent all these nudes for free and now you're charging for them. Fine. And then also a lot of like big people have been outed as selling other sex workers nudes on their OnlyFans.
That's fucking what?
Yeah. I'll find it for you and send it later. But yeah, someone, like a few people have done this. And I mean, it's also like weird when it first came out, like all these celebrities, like, oh my God, I made so much money on OnlyFans. It's like, well, you're fucking stupid. Like, you could have always been making this much money on OnlyFans. Like, we're the ones who are smarter. We've been making all the money in all the ways, and you've just been.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could go down a hole.
Yeah, we don't. Let's go somewhere else.
I totally, I watched that Hulu documentary recently and was just like, you have to watch this is so complex. But okay, so like, so curving a little bit, how do you personally, how did you learn to price yourself, right? Like, your services are a service. They have, I'm sure, a minimum or like no maximum, hopefully. But like, when you're starting out, do you go like hard and fast, these are my numbers, willing to negotiate? Or, you know, how do you build your own pricing platform?
Yes. Well, sex worker hooker math is you decide what you want your price to be, and that's what you charge people. But it's, you know, it goes into really like, well, how much experience do you have? How niche are you? What city do you live in? My prices are competitive to Los Angeles, and, you know, which is more than what someone
the most expensive city.
Where someone Wyoming. Else might charge. I'm also at the top of my game. I'm very well known. Like, I'm not going to bargain or haggle with someone over my prices. You know, that being said, you can charge whatever you want. And it kind of depends on what, how much of like, you know, effort or like likability does it have on your part. Like, you know, for me, like, I don't mind talking on the phone or texting all day. So like, that's a little bit lower for me. Other people fucking hate talking on the phone. And so they charge like way more money than I would because they never want to do it. And if they
give too much anxiety.
So I could totally see that. It's just, it's whatever you want to charge. So,
I guess that's like a fear that if you name a price and you're like starting out and someone says no, then like there goes your opportunity for payment, right? Like,
well, you know, I never quoted my price of in-person time on my session because I mean, it was generally the same that I gave everyone, but I just never wanted to quote that for sort of like personal and almost a little legal reasons. But now with online stuff, there's just a fucking tip menu. There's no like, this is just what it is,
right?
You know, especially the pricing platforms, when it's like a per minute interaction,
right?
It's just what it is.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, especially with COVID now, it's kind of, you're not running out of work.
No, no, no. There's certainly, until we run out of dicks, I will not run out of work.
There you go.
When we run out of dicks, that's a problem. I never panic when there was no toilet paper because there's plenty of dicks. So.
Right. I was going to say that's such a specific joke, but I laughed last time you said it. I was like, I get it. I thought this was interesting. Like, I was mentioning, I was talking to, I guess she is my boss. She's like the showrunner of the show I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that in her show that she's doing, like, sex work isn't the long-term goal, just because there is sort of like an ageist label put on people, especially, I mean, we know that in the porn industry to be true, because you're either like a MILF or a teen. But with dominatrix work, I'd hope there is more like visibility, like there's no age that stops you from being a dominatrix. But is what you do now the long-term goal, or do you find that there is still that kind of like ageist bullshit in what you do?
I don't find that there's so much an ageist in dom work, because so much of it is such a skill that comes from time and many years, where it's like it and certainly is the same with like dancers, but because that's putting a certain kind of wear on your body as a stripper, you're just not going to see as many people in their 40s and 50s doing the same kind of output as someone in their 20s.
Right.
And there are still, of course, people doing that, and that's not to say that there aren't, but it's just you're not seeing like older football players either, you know? So I think it's a little bit different. I mean, and for me personally, like I'm very much, I don't know how much mainstream crossover, but it's like, you know, I'm doing a lot of things in the mainstream away from sex work. Because that's what I want to do. Like,
right.
Before this started, you know, I was working on a pilot for my own show. I don't know what's going to be happening with that, because I'm not feeling safe, like, returning to production, because the production that I'm doing would very much involve being close to other people.
Of course.
Like, it's not like an interview that we can space out or, you know, I'm not feeling great about that. So, so I don't know that, I think that people just eventually want to do different things, and if people eventually decide I don't want to be in sex work anymore, it's usually because of various things having to do with the stigma of people in sex work.
Right.
The money's awesome. Like, you know,
no complaints there.
People want to do different, and people just want to do different things, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's smart for any business owner to expand your brand at some point. Like, you can't do, I mean, you could do the same thing forever and ever and all just be known as, like, I don't know, the Ferrero Rocher guy, but even he branched out into coconut Ferrero Rocher. It's like, I just think it's smart. Did you know he died as like the 30th richest man on the planet? I just found that out yesterday. I thought that was weird.
I mean, that's weird, but I wouldn't have been able to name like the other 29, I guess. But that's true. You should always diversify your business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I'm like an overachiever and I have to have like a million projects going on. And like, it was a joke where I'm like, wait, I can't believe I've been operating three businesses and two dungeons like for so long at such a high volume. I'm like, God, what am I need a new thing. And I just haven't quite decided what that new thing is yet. Just moving took a lot of effort. This last year took a lot of effort. I'm tired, you know. It's good. So,
well, that kind of like perfectly leads me into my last question, which I once again can't believe we've been talking for as long as we have. The conversations with you truly just fly by, which is why I'm so glad we did this part two. And I'm so glad, thank you again for being so open and like, you know, sharing things that do break the stigma and like having a conversation, like feel like I've been just at brunch with a friend for an hour. Like, I'm so grateful. I do fucking love brunch. Is that like, what is the future for dominatrix work? Not only for you, but do you see in the industry things are changing? And like, everyone talks about, you know, when things go back to normal, it's like, well, we're never going to go back to normal because we've just grown through this. And I think a lot of ways in a very helpful way, you know, like I think we're going to see a lot less burnout culture. We're going to see like families staying together longer, things like that. But
we're breaking up when they should.
Oh, right. Or like you've gotten out and this was the time to do it. But like, yeah. So what's the future of dominatrix work and consulting for you? And then what are you seeing like with the industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm going to be continuing with an online model for the rest of this year. I mean, a lot of that is really going to depend on when I'm able to get vaccinated and the rest of my city being able to get vaccinated. We just really live in a very big city, so it's just hard. And plenty, lots of people want to get vaccinated. So so that's for me. You know, unfortunately, there are just going to be more dungeon closures as people aren't able to keep spaces open, and the rents are very high here. And, you know, so there's that. And, you know, but I think that eventually once we get to a certain level of vaccination and I think that like the first party in person is just going to be fucking lit, you know, and I'm looking forward to having that someday, you know, because my parties were always lit, you know, right. So, you know, we're doing virtual ones. But I still think there's still just going to be like online stuff and that's happening. But you know what? It's like, I was just talking to my partner the other day and she said, well, you know, when do you think we're going to go back to normal? And I said, well, I think the problem is that a lot of people actually have gone back to normal. And that's why we're not in a normal.
Nothing is fucking back to normal.
Because people are still fucking having BDSM parties and orgies. And I'm just like, stop it. Stop it.
My like go-to party. You're the swinger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was shocked when they put out the first invitation. Like, it's going to be small. People are, you know, we're leaving it up to the people. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. People are dumb. Don't leave it up to them. Fucking implement some rules. Implement like certification or vaccination records or something that like it's made me really go like, what am I going to go back to after I get vaccinated and the world gets vaccinated? Like it definitely made me like distrust a little more for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely be giving major side eye because then, you know, these people are not safe and they don't have your interest at heart and they don't like care about you. They just care about their money or whatever. And it's irresponsible and fucked up. And it's like, you know, and like, let me just say, like, advice from your friendly neighborhood hoe.
Yes,
like, it's
our real in-house cute. Counsel.
Your in-house counsel will just like to tell you, it's real cute that you think people don't lie to you. Oh my God. It is so cute that you think that someone is telling you the truth right now. I am not a pessimist. I am a realist. No. And I just want everyone to know, do not trust people. Like,
people are lying. And like, yes, it's been a huge problem in the YouTube community. And I'm sure a bunch of listeners who like follow that world know that, you know, there's these huge parties going on and like, your favorite YouTuber that you're watching going to these parties has had it and is lying to you about it. They are fully lying. Mm-hmm.
That is just what I was talking about the other day, also with my partner, because we just found out like a bunch of people in our circle have COVID, but they don't want to mention it publicly or even tell us that they have it. And I'm like, this is bullshit. If I have to sit here and stress out and cry and pull my hair out for all of your unsafe social media postings, I want to be here for the popcorn eating and now I have COVID.
And it's stigmatizing it further. It's like, it's making it seem like people who get it in a position that aren't being reckless are dumb or being dumbasses, you know, like there are people who are fully putting themselves in unsafe positions and fuck those people, but like also essential workers or like people with large families. And it makes people fucking look bad when we treat it like this gross, like STD thing, which we've also destigmatized on this podcast.
Well, it makes it seem that when people are engaging in unsafe behaviors, it brings other people into a false sense of security and makes them feel that it's okay to also engage in those unsafe things. And this is why I have not tried to go overboard about statistics and safety, but I have tried to very actively model good behavior, both in my personal and professional feeds, as well as telling people like, look, like what are the statistics of where you live? Because this is Los Angeles right now. We're like Rihanna's heel on a fucking metal grate right now, about to get COVID.
Second great Rihanna reference in this episode. I love it. We're meant
to be. Wait, what was the first?
I think I said something about her whips and chains excite her.
Oh right? Yeah, of course.
The most obvious for this episode.
Of course. Of course, we love Rihanna. So I think this is important and I applaud you for content. And some people have reached out to me and they have not wanted to do safe content, and some people have, like you obviously were doing this virtual, you know, and also Brittany Forlan, we did it in person, but we talked about our safety standards and what
I did
that was
too.
Like, and it was like, thank you for doing this.
Oh man, this Brittany Forlan's podcast is what made me go, I have got to reach out to her. Like, I think yours was like 2 or 3 weeks before mine, and I was like, I want her on my podcast. So it was like that. And then how we've all connected. I mean, it's just been wonderful. And I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to wrap up than can you please once more tell us all where we can find you and how we can get more involved in your virtual classes, which I'm really jazzed about, and plug.
Thank you. Yes. Well, please everyone go to my main site, which is just losangelesdominatrix.com. That is always going to be the best place to find me, as sometimes social media is a little weird to the sexiest, yes, coolest people. but you can find me on all the usual places, on Instagram, TikTok, and Clubhouse as the Justine Cross.
That's right.
And yeah, I already followed you on Clubhouse.
I'm like, I can't figure out how to follow people on Clubhouse.
You just click and go follow.
But if they're, it only gives me the inf. This is like, now I'm sidebarring, well, but like, it only gives me it in my feed. Like, how do I find you?
If you just put in my name, go to the hall and go to like the little like search bar thing, put in like search for people and put in Justine Cross.
There you are. First one. Okay. Yeah, I just needed a smarter lady to tell me.
I'm gonna start a room that's like a pre-podcast room. It's going to be called Bitches is Lost, where I give people advice and tell them what to do. Because like, bitches, they're just so lost. Anyway,
combining
bitches
means everyone. Great, yeah, but combining your two great strengths into the Clubhouse room, I definitely want to be there.
Yeah, so it's really fun. So, but yeah, I hope people just come see me in virtual stuff. I think this is getting released pretty quickly. So Cyber BDSM, yes, if you identify as a cis or trans woman, please come to our virtual play party. And Kelsey might be there.
I will
she might be
there.
Hiding behind yeah. some.
I'll
some,
change my
She'll put on a Kelsey face, like a mask.
I'll have like the Phantom of the Opera mask on. I'll change my name.
It's
I've
okay.
just given yeah. myself up.
Yeah, you don't have to put your cam on. You know, I screen everyone, but it is a really wonderful event, and we're going to be doing virtual events through the rest of the year for classes and events. So again, you can just find all that stuff on my social media and my main website, losangelesdominatrix.com.
Justine, you're just a gem. Thank you so much. And confidants, go check all of that out. It'll be linked in the description below. Don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, please don't rate it, because I'm very sensitive. And you can always email us at confidentlyinsecurepodcast@gmail.com. If you have more questions for Justine, let us know. We can always do an IG live, or I'll be in your Clubhouse kind of lurking. And if you need Clubhouse invites, DM me. I've got extra. And we will see you next week, confidants. Love you. Bye.